will open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. And I hope that you'll bear with us in a few moments of difficulty and be in prayer for the services and the remaining portion. John, chapter 10, we continue the series of messages on the Christ of the 20th century. I'm glad that we are serving a God who never changes, who has revealed himself to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom there is no change. The basis or background scripture for this series of messages, as you know, is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We're going to read a portion of John chapter 10 for our text after we bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd, who has not only sought us out when we were lost, but is keeping us and preserving us and shall again appear for us in the day of His return. We would pray in these moments as we shall meditate upon Thy Word that the Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts and minds, cause us to be alert, cause us to be anxious to hear Thy Word. Cause us, we pray, to open our hearts, open our spiritual ears as well as our physical ears, that we might hear the voice of the Savior as He speaks to us. And we would ask, should there be those without Him tonight who have come into this assembly, we pray that they might trust Him as Savior. And should there be those who need to come for prayers of dedication, prayers of reassurance, prayers of reaffirmation of their faith in Thee and in Thy Word, may they not hesitate, may they come tonight. And should there be those, Heavenly Father, who are seeking a place to serve and worship Thee, we would ask that Thou wouldst bring them into the fellowship of this body of believers. And we would ask that the Holy Spirit would have right of way in every heart and in every life, because we ask these things in the name of Him who loved us and in His own blood has loosed us from our sins. And for His sake we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Jesus speaks in John chapter 10 at verse 1, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger," or the voice of strangers. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There are various analogies used in the Scriptures to describe and portray the ministry of Jesus Christ. But I think none is more adequate or appropriate than the one that we have under consideration tonight in John chapter 10. We shall see this as we think about Christ, the Good Shepherd. This is our thinking for this third in the series of messages on the Christ of the 20th century. Christ, the Good Shepherd. A bit of Old Testament background is necessary and certainly helpful at the beginning of this message. For the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, the Old Testament portrays three different phases of the shepherd work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of these has a complementary verse of Scripture in the New Testament. First is Psalm chapter 22. Those of you who are familiar with Psalm 22, and certainly almost every Bible student and Christian and church member and reader of God's Word, knows something about Psalm chapter 22. In it, we have a vivid picture of the crucifixion of Christ. It begins something like this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is Christ, through the psalmist, crying out to God, why hast thou forsaken me? And on through the 22nd chapter, the vivid picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Thus we have in chapter 22 of the book of Psalms, the good shepherd dying for the sheep. This we see in John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The key word of this thought is cross. The good shepherd dying for his sheep upon the cross. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The second phase is Psalm 23. In the 23rd Psalm, we have the great shepherd, as Ronnie so wonderfully read it a while ago. And the great shepherd is busy caring for his sheep. Psalm chapter 23. The New Testament verse is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Psalm 23 then, the great shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. The great shepherd caring for his sheep. The key word is the word crook or staff, the shepherd's instrument to take care of his sheep. Then the third phase is Psalm 24. And in the 24th Psalm, we have the work of the chief shepherd who is coming for his sheep. The New Testament verse is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So we have the good shepherd in Psalm 22, the great shepherd in Psalm 23, and the chief shepherd in Psalm 24. Now, there are three things from John chapter 10 that we would note briefly tonight. The first is, thank you, sir, the shepherd's vocation. What does the shepherd do? In the days of Jesus, the shepherd with his sheep was a very common sight. I can think of nothing that is more restful, more pleasing to the eye, more comforting than to see the shepherd out in the pasture with his sheep. This is a very common sight in the day of Jesus. For the work of the shepherd is one of the oldest vocations that we know anything about in the Word of God. Such great men as Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David were all shepherds. So the work of a shepherd, the vocation of a shepherd, is very important. And as the good shepherd, as the great shepherd, as the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ is working. He has a definite vocation. The first thing in his vocation is to seek the sheep that are lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's a beautiful story in Luke chapter 15. It's a threefold story. One part has to do with the lost sheep. And Jesus said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose just one, will not leave the 99 and go out to find the one lost sheep? That is the work, that is the ministry of Christ. Somehow I feel tonight that if you had been or I had been the only lost sheep in all the world, that Jesus Christ would have given himself upon the cross, would have laid down his life, would have sought us and redeemed us and purchased us with his own blood. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd then, is out there to seek the lost sheep. Not only that, but the shepherd leads the sheep to new pasture lands. There's one thing about the Christian experience. There's something new for us in it every day. As we read the Word of God, for example, it doesn't matter how many times we read the same passage of Scripture, there's always something new in it. I challenge you tonight to take any book, doesn't matter who wrote it, doesn't matter what the subject of the book is, doesn't matter what the plot is, how it's written, or what language it is written in. You will never find the same thing true with any other book. If you read it and comprehend it, then it's all over. But if you will take the Word of God, and I would challenge you, for example, to take this 10th chapter of John, and you read it every day in this week, and I believe that you'd be able to testify next Sunday that though you have read it 7 times, you got something fresh and something new and something invigorating and something enlightening every day from it. Will you try that this week? Just try one chapter and see if I'm not telling you the truth. Reading the Word of God, going from pasture land to pasture land. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So, the shepherd not only seeks out the sheep that are lost, but he leads us to new pasture land. There's something else that the shepherd does. He binds up the wounds of the sheep. Oh, if you've ever seen the pictures or read about, or if you've known those who have taken care of sheep, they are very apt to get hurt. And at the end of the day, the good shepherd will bind up the wounds and anoint the wounds of those that are hurt and broken. And so it is with us, with our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are broken in spirit or body, when we are hurt, when we are wounded, our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd binds up our hurts and binds up our wounds and salves them with the Holy Spirit. And then there's something else that the good shepherd does. He carries the weary ones on his shoulders. How many pictures have you seen? The shepherd carrying the sheep, literally about his neck, on his shoulders. And that is precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. In the moments of our weariness, our tiredness, in the moments of our despondency and discouragement and despair, our shepherd is willing to carry us on his shoulders. He carries us to peace. He carries us to rest. He carries us to comfort and consolation. This is the vocation of the good shepherd. Not only that, but he protects us from the enemy. We read in the 23rd Psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." With that crook or that staff that we see in Psalm 23, the great shepherd taking care of his sheep, one of the most important vocations is to fight off the wolf or the beast from the wild to protect his sheep. And in the line of his duty, the shepherd must be very dedicated to his task. If necessary, he must die for it. Jesus was using this analogy in John chapter 10. He says the hireling, the one who has just been brought in for hire to take care of the sheep, when the wolf comes, he flees, and the wolf comes and scatters the sheep. But not so the good shepherd. If necessary, he will give his life in defense of his sheep. That is precisely what Christ has done for us. We mentioned a while ago Abel, a shepherd. In that case, the sheep gave his life for the shepherd. Abel presented the sheep, as it were, before God for an acceptable offering. The sheep died for the shepherd. But with our good shepherd, with our chief shepherd, with our great shepherd, the shepherd dies for the sheep. Jesus said, "I lay my life down for my sheep." And so, the vocation of the shepherd to seek the sheep that are lost, to lead them to new grounds of pasture, to bind up their wounds when they are hurt, to carry them on his shoulders when they are weary, to protect them from the enemy. And Jesus Christ has done this for us and much more. Now, not only the shepherd's vocation, but secondly, the shepherd's voice. What about the shepherd's voice? There's something peculiar about it. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. And the voice of the stranger, they will not hear. They will not follow." Now, I've never kept sheep, but I have read about it. And I understand that if a stranger comes to the pasture land or grazing land where the shepherd is, he may make the same sound and put forth the same call as the shepherd puts forth, but the sheep do not obey him. But when the shepherd speaks, the sheep begin to follow. He goes before them. He makes the way. He leads the way. Remember we read, the good shepherd goeth before, not after, not beside, before the sheep to make the way. And so much of the shepherd's work is in his voice, how he speaks to his sheep. And somehow I can draw from that an analogy that so much of Christ's work is in his voice, in his word, for he speaks to us from the pages of this blessed book as the shepherd speaks to his sheep. And what kind of voice does he speak with? Well, I know that you'll agree with me that the shepherd speaks with a voice of love. Said Jesus, greater love hath no man than this. I lay down my life for my sheep. This is the voice of love. Then he speaks in a voice of mercy. No wonder the psalmist said, I will sing, yea, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth from generation to generation. Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, our good shepherd, our great shepherd, speaks to us in a voice of mercy. He speaks furthermore with a voice of forgiveness. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He speaks then with a voice of forgiveness. There are two outstanding cases in the New Testament, many examples, but two in particular. You know the story about the man who was a paralytic and who was laid before Jesus. There was no room to get this man in by way of the door, so they had to go up to the roof, which was a thatched roof, and they tore open the tile of the roof and let the man down in the presence of Jesus. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Another case, the woman who came into the house of Simon, and there she wept, and she bathed the feet of Jesus with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And the Pharisees and those about it did not understand. Jesus said, where much is needed and much is wanting and much is desiring, much is given. He said to the woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, I don't know that there could be any sweeter words to you and to me tonight. In the midst of all of our sins and all of our shortcomings, all of our mistakes and all of our stumblings and all of our failures, for Christ to say, thy sins are forgiven. He speaks in a voice of forgiveness. Not only that, but he speaks in a voice of authority. Mark chapter 1 and verse 22. And he astonished them, Mark says, because he spoke to them as one having authority. When Jesus speaks, the whole universe must pay attention. When the voice of the Son of God speaks, it is worthwhile. It is worth our listening. He speaks to us with a voice of authority. You know why? Because he speaks as God. He says in this same chapter, in verse 30, I and the Father are one. So with the voice of authority, Jesus spoke to those about him in his day. And with the voice of authority, he speaks to us from his word and in the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus speaks with a voice of prophecy. I know that we think most of prophecy is confined to the Old Testament. But there are not any places in the Old Testament that have any more prophecy than Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, and Matthew chapter 25 are chapters of prophecy, and Jesus spoke them and gave in his voice of authority the plan and program of God for the end time, in the last days, Jesus said. So many things would come, and we see them coming to pass day by day. We read about them in the papers. We hear them on the radio. We see them on television. We know that the things that Jesus spoke about with a voice of prophecy, these things are coming to pass in our day. The voice of love, the voice of mercy, the voice of forgiveness, the voice of authority, and the voice of prophecy. And I wonder tonight if perhaps the shepherd of our soul, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, is not speaking to us. To some of you, perhaps he's speaking about your church membership. To some of you, he may be speaking about salvation. To some of you, he may be speaking about your being more dedicated to the task, more punctual and prompt and on guard for your duty and your responsibility within the framework of the church. The Good Shepherd is speaking tonight. Will you attune your ears to his voice that you might hear him as he speaks personally and individually to you and to me? And as he speaks to us, let us not only hear his voice, but let us heed his voice and obey his voice and do what he bids us do in these very dark and dismal and trying days. The shepherd's vocation, the shepherd's voice, and finally, the shepherd's victory. It is the shepherd's work, as we noted, to find the sheep that are lost. But his work is not complete at finding or binding them up or carrying them or protecting them from the enemy. The good shepherd continues to keep or preserve the sheep whom he has found. In the 27th, 28th, and 29th verses of John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So then, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, continues his work of victory in keeping his sheep. One day, he's coming back for the sheep that he has found, for the sheep that he has preserved and kept. And Jude puts it like this: "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." The good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd is coming again for his own. And this is his moment of victory. And this is likewise our moment of victory. When Jesus, the shepherd of our soul, shall appear, he shall give us a crown of glory. The story is told of Dr. Wilbur Chapman, one of the greatest soul winners of yesteryear. In the Highlands of Scotland, he was carrying on evangelistic campaigns and soul-winning clinics, and he met a young lad to whom he witnessed and who was won to a saving knowledge of Christ. And he taught this young boy the 23rd Psalm. And the young boy particularly liked the first four words. "The Lord is my," or the first five words, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And every time he would say it, he would always put the emphasis on "my." "The Lord is my shepherd." And his mother said that a lot of times he'd go about the house and he'd just point it out on his fingers, "The Lord is my," and he'd hold the "my" with this finger on that one, "The Lord is my shepherd." Dr. Chapman, after having been away from the Highlands of Scotland for a long time, came back. And he met again the family of this young boy that was saved, and naturally inquired of the young man. And his mother said, "Well, we hate to tell you, but he was caught in a blizzard in deep snow and froze to death. But you know, Dr. Chapman," she said, "we always rejoiced. And after you left, he went about the house all the time, 'The Lord is my shepherd.' And you know, doctor," she said, "when we found him, though his body was cold in death. And out of the deep snow, his little hands were pushing upward. And he had his finger on the fourth finger of his right hand. And we knew what that meant. That everything was well with his soul. Because that's the way he always expressed it. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad he's my shepherd tonight. And I hope, if there be any here who are not in the fold, as Jesus said, there are others who are not yet in the fold, but they're coming in, and there'll be one shepherd and one fold. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are made to rejoice tonight because we know Jesus Christ as our shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. And we know tonight, Heavenly Father, that should death come, we can, as the little lad in the highlands of Scotland, put our finger on it, and we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how we thank thee for that personal relationship with him. And we beg thy forgiveness tonight. We feel so unworthy and so undeserving and so helpless. We would just ask, should there be those who have not trusted him outside the fold, may they come in tonight. May they come in right now and trust the shepherd. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Or should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to come for a prayer of devotion and dedication, may they come. Or outside the confines of the church and seeking a church home, may they come. Even as we ask it now in Jesus' name and for his sake, with thanksgiving.